Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Jesse Clegg, my in-studio guest, and he brought his guitarist Richard along with him. But the focus is on Jesse. Are you okay with that, Rick?
Yeah, it's fine. Is it okay? Well, I'm kind of used to it by now.
But it depends how you're going to play that guitar later on if he doesn't behave. Okay, so primary school. Do you still have your uniform, Jesse? Somewhere in a cupboard, in a box?
Yeah, somewhere in some cupboard, in some box, somewhere in the world. I don't know.
Did you wear ties to school?
No, Crawford was very cool. He wore t-shirts and jeans.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty, it's one of these like modern schools.
Okay, so that was kind of cool. You could express yourself.
Yeah, which was nice.
With your sleeveless t-shirt. No ways. I went to that school. You had to wear a tie and just terrible. Short hair. Okay, so in primary school, did you know which high school did you go to then?
Crawford.
Is that part of it?
I was a full-on Crawfordian, man.
Okay, I thought Crawford was a primary school and then...
Yeah, well, I think that I was there from grade two and then they built the high school... While I was there, I just went straight to the high school.
Okay, what was it like? Obviously, you knew all your friends then, so it was an easy, you moved into grade, standard six in my day.
Yeah, grade eight.
So you didn't have to go to a school and start all over again, new friends and whatever, so that must have been quite cool.
Yeah, no, it was cool. I mean, I think the first 2 years of high school is still like a bit of a party, and then grade 10, you have to start getting a bit serious. Mm. And then you start to feel like, okay, this is starting to matter for the future. So by grade 11, I'd kind of figured it out. And yeah, I became like quite into academia, as strange as that may sound.
Your subjects were?
I did all the arty subjects. I did English, maths, Afrikaans, because we had to.
Can you speak Afrikaans, Praat?
A bikkie.
That's not too bad.
He answered at least.
I can only flick word in it.
Yeah.
Okay, and what else?
Then I did art.
Yeah.
I did business economics, music. What else?
I think business economics today, it helps a lot with the band.
Yeah.
I mean, running the business of the band.
I mean, in fact, the thing that really helped me was studying law, contract law. That was brilliant. That I can read a contract now, which is very useful.
The fine print.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You'll be surprised how much of there is.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the last subject was. I think it might have been biology or something like that.
Okay, how many A's?
Six.
Six. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well done.
Yeah, I enjoyed academia, man. It was a good vibe. I mean, I enjoyed like the discipline that it required, and I think it definitely gives you a life of mind, which is very important for writers to be able to exist entirely in your head and to exercise those muscles and compare and contrast and find ways of expressing your ideas that are interesting and unique. So it actually really helped me in my writing.
Now, when you grew up in the background, your parents, what kind of music were they playing, like on a Sunday? Or are there any bands, any music, any genres that sort of stand out today? You go, wow, I remember my mom and dad.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of world music. Mm. I mean, just from a huge variety of world music. I mean, some of the names are very strange, but Wes was a great example. W.E.S. Yeah. They were a North African group. And they were doing this amazing sort of blues crossover with North African music, which I was obsessed with. I was obsessed with this album, and I still love this album. It's an amazing album. A lot of Sting and the Police, Tracy Chapman, a lot of folk artists, you know, with serious artists who write serious lyrics, socially conscious. And so I was always exposed to very complex music. And I guess that kind of made my standard quite high. But then when I became a teenager, I discovered rock and roll and Nirvana and all the 90s bands, Deftones and Smashing Pumpkins and those things. And it really, I kind of found the route that I wanted to go. There was something so expressive about it. It wasn't overly intellectual, but it was expressive in a way that was actually very complex and very interesting to me. There were so many interesting juxtapositions and a lot of political ideas that were being put through, but in a very sort of non-literal way, which was exciting to me, and I became very interested in that. And that my early writing is just like Nirvana, basically.
When you heard Smells Like Teen Spirit for the first time, where were you? Did you hear it on radio? It must have blown you away as well.
Yeah,
that opening riff is amazing.
It's amazing. I remember I was at the music store. I mean, I'm young. I'm old enough to have actually saved up money and gone and bought CDs, you know, when I was young. So that was definitely an important part of my growing up. And I remember the two CDs that I really loved and listened to for a long time was Smells Like Teen Spirit and the Oasis album, What's the Story, Morning Glory. And I remember with Nirvana, my dad, me and my dad were at the music store, and he said to me, like, what are you going to get? And I said, I don't know, I'm just going to look around and browse. And he said, get this album. And he gave me Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I looked at the album cover, and it was this naked baby. Mm. You know, you remember the album covers? Yeah, that bizarre image with a fish hook and a dollar. Yeah. And I was like, no, this is lame. I don't want this. What is this? A naked baby on this cover? No, I'm not getting this. And he said, you know what? I'm going to get it, and you can listen to it and tell me what you think. And a week later, I was totally obsessed with it. It was just... it changed my life. I mean, I think every band has a story about the first time they heard Nirvana. You know, no matter what genre they're in, there was just something so visceral about that music. It was so new and so fresh, and the songwriting was incredible. I mean, he's actually a genius pop writer. I mean, those songs were pop songs, but the production was so raw. It was so clever, and that's what really inspired me about it.
Did you ever listen to the Pixies before that?
Oh, I mean, man, Pixies. Love the Pixies.
Because Kurt Cobain was one of the biggest Pixies fans, and all those riffs come from Pixies songs.
But it's funny, I discovered Nirvana first, and I only discovered the Pixies later in life. And I actually got to see them live in Toronto 2 years ago, which was amazing. They played the whole Doolittle album from track 1 to track 15. And yeah, I mean, it's almost like when you have this incredible connection with an artist, you don't want to burst the bubble by starting to track where they got influenced and who they copied and where it came from. You just want to kind of live in that fantasy for as long as possible, because it's just so amazing. It's music that is incomprehensible the first time you hear it. So I was just, for like 5 years, I was just Nirvana. Like, I listened to everything, every album, every B-side, every demo, every live recording. It was just a revelation.
If you listen to your first and your second album, obviously there's a little bit of Nirvana in there, a couple of the riffs and stuff influenced.
I think
you
know, for me it wasn't I don't think I copied the riffs as much, but for me it was the writer's perspective. You know, he had this very weird postmodern like juxtaposing of lyrics. I mean, his lyrics made no sense, but they actually made sense. And it was just like the stream of consciousness. Mm. You know, just vomiting out words, and it was incredibly expressive, and it captured something in that moment. So I think that was very poignant for me, and I try to write like that initially.
Like that song, Rape Me. Everybody went, oh no, you can't play that on there. But if people really knew what that song was all about, the music industry.
Yes, exactly.
Ripping bands off and whatever. That's such a clever way of expressing himself.
It's brilliant. You know? And he was a very clever writer. Mm. Even though it sounds like... it sounds arbitrary, it sounds like stream of consciousness, a lot of it is actually very well thought out, and there's cryptic references, and it's complex music, man. I think it stands up to any of the great songwriters.
Okay, we're going to get back to Kings of Leon. I mean, this young band started playing blues and that kind of stuff for the first two albums. Then they became a bit more poppy or whatever. We're going to talk about them. So Jesse Clegg is here, and in about 15 minutes, do you guys know which song you're going to do, Richard? Have you been tuning your guitar there, dude?
For the last hour, eh?
I think we're going to do it in black and white.
Okay, great.
Because it's off the second album, and I didn't hear it in that intro, so we're going to do that one. Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Decker.